Hi guys.
Hi Asha.
Hey. So the point is back. I'm so excited. For everyone who doesn't know, my name is Aisha Victoria, and I will be your host for today. So we're turning the tables, and we're going to ask some questions from the lads of the Point podcast. So lads, introduce yourselves. Say hi to the lovely people.
Hello. My name is Michael. Michael Lee, at Mike Realist on social media. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Afolabi, Afo for Labby. Yeah, that's it.
Hi, my name is Enoch. Enoch Mukasa. I work for The Point. Thanks.
He works for The Point, ladies and gentlemen. I like that kind of like Barry White kind of. I don't really know what's going on there, but we'll get into it.
I can't lie, yeah, my voice is like that when I wake up in the morning.
And I want it to do you know what? Like sometimes I wish that we would record episodes in the morning. When I wake up, yeah, if I send a voice note to someone in the morning, yeah, and I hear it back and I'm like,
I can't even lie, my voice is so sexy in the
so
morning.
So buff in the morning.
I can't lie, man.
Honestly, it really is. It really is.
I wake up and like, I can't remember who I sent a voice note to. I listened back to it, I was like, wow.
Trust me.
So what happens between the morning and now? What's the difference?
Life and stress happens. Yeah.
So that makes your voice more high pitched?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Okay. Yeah. My voice is like, it's not like high, but it's a moderate deep voice.
Okay.
But it's not what I want it to be.
Okay, so you want that bass.
Yeah. But in the morning it's got that bass, man.
Sometimes work happens as well. You know, you need to take the bass out of your voice at work.
Yeah.
You
don't
want to be too
threatening.
Yeah, yeah, right. And all of that.
Hi. Morning.
Right.
Morning. Because I teach as well, I kind of have to, you know, like, I can't be doing bass, because then the kids will be like, what's this guy?
They feel like you're offensive or like you're aggressive, innit?
Yeah,
I can't lie, it's because we're black, but you know.
So let's talk about that, the whole, the perception of black men and the hustle of being a black man in London.
Wow, can we just deep.
Give me a snapshot of your day to day. So you wake up, you sound like Barry White, life is good, birds mm-hmm. are singing, there's mm-hmm. spring in your step. Mm-hmm. Then what happens?
I can't lie, there's no spring in my step in the mornings.
Okay.
I'm not really a morning guy, you know. I like, unless I wake up around like 8 o'clock, then I'm all right. Mm. But waking up at, what, six? I'm not about that life, really, to be honest with you. I need like a good 8 hours sleep. I do, but I never get it.
Okay.
Fair dues.
Yeah.
What about you, Michael?
What, like my day to day? What is it
yeah,
like?
So what, really how do you go day-to-day? From Barry White to...
So... work happens and you have to, the tonality, it's not so bad for me anymore, but before I used to be very much like, okay, you know, I work in this big organization, let me just make sure that I'm not coming with my patois kind of, you know, roots, my Jamaican roots. So day to day, what it looks like as a young black man in London, it's challenging, man.
Yeah.
It's challenging, especially if you work in a big organization. Mm-hmm. A corporate organization. Mm-hmm. There are certain ways that you have one must carry themselves as a man, as a young black man.
Mm-hmm.
Culture is different. You kind of
so, for example, because I'm trying to understand what the difference is between your 9 to 5 Monday to Friday mm-hmm. person mm-hmm. in comparison to your weekend persona.
Okay, so all right, I personally, I'm a lot more like. Timetabled in the week, which is I'm sure everyone else is.
Right.
So I'm a lot more scheduled. I'm a lot more like, okay, I need to do this and then, and you know, so I get up in the morning. I'll try and go to the gym first thing in the morning because
mm-hmm.
I personally believe that if you don't look after yourself first when you go to work, it's hard to really serve others. That's just mm-hmm. my personal thing. That's what I found. Yeah. So I'll get up. I'll go to the gym. I'll get to work. I'll do work, and then in the evening I might like record a podcast.
Right.
Chill out, like I'm always doing something. I'm always doing something basically in mm-hmm. the week. Weekends, yeah, just chill, relax. Church on a Sunday, Saturday, mm-hmm. party, that kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah. Afo, what about you?
My day to day, do you know what it is? Yeah, I haven't. I think I actually have a problem. Because especially over the past couple of weeks, I've been going to the office on the weekend.
Wow.
Like,
okay.
And I did that before as well.
Is that because of deadlines or is it because you need to get certain things done?
Yeah, deadlines. Like, okay. I just, right now, I just don't have the time for anything else. Like, it's just work, work, work. So, okay. I was in the office on Sunday after church.
And your job is doing the most. I'm sorry. Afro's job is doing the most. Wow. Every time we'll be messaging Afro in the evening, oh, what are you doing? Where are you at? I'm at work, man. And it's like 8 o'clock. I'm thinking, bro, go home.
Just funny, we have like a fellowship group that we go to on Mondays. I haven't been this
week. You haven't been in
work.
Mm-hmm. 3 months.
Work.
Every Monday.
Honestly, it's just work. But this Monday is going to be the first time I go this year.
But you got a promotion.
Yeah, but I got a promotion.
I was just about to say, all of this work, the bonus or the promotion must be pending. Okay, hard work pays off.
Yeah, really happy about that. My mum was happy. So that's the main thing. But yeah, super happy about that. I can't lie, I should have got it last year. But, you know, whatever. Thank God for it anyway.
I know, right? At least it came in this economy.
But yeah. I'm really happy about that. But I am going to try and really find a balance between work and a social life, because I don't want to get to that point again where all I'm thinking about is work.
Yeah.
But if I'm not working on the point, but it's not really work. It's more like I just enjoy it.
It's more enjoyment.
You know?
It's more. What about you, Enoch? Because it's a bit... your work is a bit different.
So from Barry White to Selena Gomez.
Wow. I was thinking, like, where are we going? Right, Celine Dion
Selena Gomez.
Shout out to Selena.
Yeah. Shout out to her.
She goes by church.
Exactly. Ah, great. It depends, isn't it? Like, sometimes I like to wake up early. Like, I want to wake up early to do whatever, maybe pray or whatever. But it's, most times I find myself waking up like an hour before I have to be at work. So, but for me, it only takes about 30 minutes to get to work.
Okay.
15 minutes if I'm driving. So I'm more of a get up and go kind of guy.
Okay.
Get up, go bathroom, shower, get dressed, and then I'll go to work. But getting in, it's like, all right, walk into work. Morning, you all right? Yeah. Oh, great. How was the day yesterday? Yeah. Weekend good? Yeah, it was great. And it was just like, morning. And
because
there's a lot of teachers like around everywhere, because I teach, there's a lot of teachers around, and it's like walking past everyone, you have to say morning to everyone. But today in particular, it was kind of funny because I was on a bus this morning and I saw one of my students from 2 years ago, I think. So it was weird because he literally came, bumped into me, sat next to me, He's in year six now. And I saw him, I was like, bro. And he saw me, and I don't think he recognized me because I had my hood up in it. So I was like, I went to shake his hand like that, And he gave me his phone. So he was like,
wow.
And I was like, No. Jack, it's me.
Oh, he thought you were.
Oh my god. Wow.
Wow. So, what phone was it?
It was kind of dead. I think it was like a I can't remember. I wouldn't have taken it.
Poor him.
Yeah, so obviously he took out his phone and was like give it to me.
On the bus, you know.
And I was just like, bruh, no one's gonna rob you in the morning. Like
Damn.
But it's one of them. Yeah, but then he was like, he was literally like, we just started talking. He's like, oh, Enoch, yeah, hi, like, where are you off to now? I was like, I'm off to your school, bro. And he's like, yeah, we're just talking. We even got off the bus and he waited for me. Like, I purposely tried to avoid him, but he got off the bus first, and he just stood there, like, waiting for me to come off the bus. And then we got off, like, so, this, that. And it was like I was saying to you earlier, actually, that, like, I built a relationship with the kids in terms of, like, I am their teacher, but it's okay going into work.
Yeah.
So, but like, I love my job, but I don't at the same time, but I love it because of what I get. So when I go in, it's more of, oh, hi. And then I leave the day, depending on how the day goes, I'll be happy or mediocre or like, it would just be, But
so
it's all right.
So you would be on the Selena Gomez type of.
Yeah, so I'll leave, I'm like, hey.
Like,
And even today I had a private student and she was doing the most, like, she was just like, I'm not playing it. And I was just like, look, play this one song, we're just trying to learn Simple Humpty Dumpty. And it wasn't simple, to be fair. It was kind of, it was hard, like, for her, because she only started like three weeks ago. So I was like, okay, play it like this, like this, like this. And she was like, no. Sat on the floor, doing, leaning on the keyboard, neck like this. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, look, just do it. Like,
my mum and dad are paying me good
and
money.
I said, yeah, and I told you, look, your mum and dad are paying me to teach you. Yeah. If you don't do this, then like what? Like you want me to not? You don't want to teach me anymore, Abby? And she was like,
yeah.
And she was.
Did
you
say no, Abby?
I didn't say Abby. She's Nigerian, so it could have worked.
Abby, no.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you don't want me to pay you though. You don't want me to teach you. She's like, yes, I do. And I was like, okay, then you better get on with it. Yeah. She didn't, but you know. I told her dad anyway, so
he'll deal with that.
Deal with
it.
Better learn.
Exactly. That's
do you know
plan.
What I do to put food on this table? And you're wasting my money.
I know. It's not even food on the table. You got music lessons out.
Yeah, I do to put piano on this table.
Nah. Shout out to dad for
but
that.
Yeah, That's what gets me kind of Selena Gomez at the end. So, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. So you guys have kind of touched upon what I would like to find out a bit more about. I'm pretty sure a lot of the listeners and the watchers right now want to know a bit more about you guys and what it takes to have The Point as a platform. Mm. And whilst I was thinking about it, because we did part one and thinking about part two, and I thought, okay, you guys have been doing The Point for 2 years.
Yeah.
Great. But I think it's, you know, call it the female tendency in me. I thought, okay, how can we compare The Point? What can we compare The Point to? Mm-hmm. And I've heard some people say starting up a new venture is slightly like having a child. So it's going through that labor pain, all of the planning, and then you give birth to the child and there's a lot of excitement. Mm-hmm. So this time last year, you guys were featured in a really cool article by BuzzFeed, listing you guys as one of the, you know, podcasts to watch. So there's a lot of momentum, but I think everyone's thinking, oh, the guys are here, but they're not really here. What have the guys been up to? What's going on? Like, we love the content you guys are giving out, but we want to see more. So I was kind of comparing that to, so I did a quick Google search in terms of 2-year-old. So what should a 2-year-old be able to do by a certain age milestone? Because kids are measured month by month in terms of how they're intellectually developing. So there are different things such as the child's sleeping habits, the child's social skills, their diet. And I was thinking, not to say about The Point being a 2-year-old, but what teething problems have you guys gone through? And I've kind of broken them down in that kind of format in terms of your social life. Afa, you mentioned about work-life balance. Gonna touch upon that. I'm personally really intrigued about being, you know, I'm not a young black man, but I've always had this. I'm just like, oh, the hustle is real because you guys have to be very aware of how you present yourself as soon as you wake up. So you have to think, do I wear that hoodie? You know, you gave the example. You on the hoodie, you wore the hoodie on the bus and you want to say hi to your student. He was like, okay, he wants my phone. Or changing your pitch and your tone and the way you walk or the jokes you have or even the food you drink. Food you drink, food you eat. In the office. So, my first question
is...
Let's
take jollof to the office, but I can't say nothing.
Of course.
Eating that jollof rice, you are. But what I would... Pounded yam.
One day. I saw somebody do that on Snapchat, you know. Like, he bought pounded yam and goosey soup.
Wow.
I said, yes!
You guys are always yes! He's like, no, not for
these
me.
Nigerians just doing the most all the time.
I was only joking.
Why can't you bring pounded yam and stew?
But the thing is,
because I'm not eating that with a fork. I have to do it the right way. Pick it with my hands.
Of course you can. You know?
But there's work politics about not having like smelly food and food that will disrupt the working environment.
Well, in my workplace, they're always going to go and get kebab and chips and rice, or things that smell anyway.
It's a bit more mainstream, though.
Yeah.
It's a
bit more mainstream.
The smell is
mainstream.
It's acceptable in the society.
Discrimination. Well, pounded yam is in this society now as well.
Bring it in.
We're not going to do it.
Might lose that promotion. God forbid.
God forbid.
You took the words from my mouth.
God forbid.
I said it. God forbid. I even touched wood.
We even touched wood for those that believe in touching wood.
Those who don't believe, you see, you lot saw. I touched the wood, right? Wood table. Thank God. So.
Yeah.
Is there a word or a phrase that you would use to personally describe the year that you've just gone through? So from this time last year to right now, is there one word that you would use to describe?
Challenging.
Okay, that's
good. The word I would use.
Okay, and...
Afro.
Do you want me to elaborate?
Volatile.
It's a good word.
Wow, okay.
Just for the listeners that don't know what volatile means.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on, please.
Wow, we'll get into that later.
The point listeners are very educated.
We are. That's what we do. We educate and we edify. Educate, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. Go Google it.
No, I think they'll find out because we'll elaborate, innit?
Yeah.
Mm. Word for me.
Could be a phrase as well.
A phrase. Labor, but okay, no, I changed my mind. Conservative, I'm joking. politics, identity.
Okay, so let's
That's good. Yeah.
Okay, so Afo, you said volatile.
Yeah.
Care to expand?
I mean, 2016 was just, 2017 was just a really up and down year. I think because there were times that we all had the fire, we wanted to do it, you know, and then there were times that that wasn't the case. It'd be maybe one person or two people, and then the other person, and then the third member just wouldn't want to do it. And it's not really three, to be honest, actually five. But we won't mention the other two, they want to stay quiet. But yeah, but it was, I think that's how I felt the whole year. And it was like one person would be, there'd always be that one person that would try and encourage everybody, and then we just get on with it. But it, there wasn't enough consistency. So, and I think people could tell, because our output was a lot, was it a lot less? I don't know if it was a lot less, but it was, there were huge gaps. That was obvious. There were huge gaps in our release and what we were doing. Yeah, and that was so obvious. It was like, and I feel, yeah. But you know what? I'll leave it like that because I know the guys are gonna say other things as well. I don't really want to step on toes. Yeah, but yeah, that's just how I feel. Yeah.
And would you say personal life was also volatile? Because you mentioned working a lot.
Yeah. Personal life. I think really got in the way of the point as well.
Okay.
For me,
right?
Really. It was difficult because there'll be times that in my personal life, like, I shouldn't have been recording, but I did anyway.
Yeah.
And then I face the consequences when I get home.
Of course. Yeah.
But
it's that balance, isn't it?
Yeah. That balance. And I personally didn't find it.
Right.
Last year.
It's hard, man. It's hard.
It's difficult. Yeah.
Mike?
Challenging. Yeah. Okay, so why I would say challenging is because we all like have so many different facets to our lives. So we have a work life, we have a family life, we have, some people have a spiritual life, we have relationship life, we have fitness life, we have all these different facets of what make us up as people. Yeah. And on top of that, we all have working lives.
Yeah.
Now, working lives make up the majority of our day, and therefore it's sometimes hard to kind of balance, you know, I've got to work late, like Afa was saying, or I've got to go and see a friend, or I've got a birthday or whatever. I've got to just manage life or do things. And also make time for your hobbies as well. For me, I think why I would say it was probably more challenging last year, it's just because just trying to manage everybody's schedules. There's the three of us and we all do different things. Like Afo's work is quite demanding. My work is a bit more 9 to 5. Enoch's work is up and down dependent because of the nature of what he does, dependent on time. So we all have to kind of make allowances for each other's work schedules. But I feel like going back to 2016 when we got that recognition on BuzzFeed, I remember it was so funny. I think I might have mentioned this on the podcast that we did last year for our first birthday, but I remember walking into my office and praying and being like, God, you know, I really want the point to reach more people. And I was just walking, it was just a small matter that I made to myself, and I was like, I just really wanted to reach more people. I want it to grow. And literally that afternoon,
after I prayed that in the morning, that's when Afo texted us and said, yeah, we just got mentioned by BuzzFeed. And we were like, what? This is like the biggest viral content website in the world. And we're getting mentioned. Like, this is, we're recording this out of my bedroom. Like, this is mad. And so to go from that and that high of like, wow, people are listening. And that was within the first 9 months, to then maybe things being a bit more tumultuous in 2017, you realize that you have to keep working at it. You can't really slow down. It's not a thing of like, okay, we've reached this now, so everyone's gonna listen or whatever. If we do not put out content, our numbers will drop. That's just a fact of life. If Breakfast Club don't put out content, their numbers will drop, because out of sight, out of mind. Right. And especially in this day and age where social media, where we're just kind of like, whatever's put in front of us, that's what we'll focus our attention on. Right. So if we're not in front of people, we won't get attention. So yeah, so it's been challenging, but it's been fun as well, because I feel like in the midst of us maybe not being as consistent as we can be, we've also given ourselves time to be able to like do YouTube, for example, or given ourselves time to actually record content. So we haven't been, even if it's not out there, we haven't necessarily not been working. We have been working. It's just sometimes we'll hold on to the content.
Yeah, that's good.
Can I just mention?
I wanted to say one last thing.
Oh yeah, you go.
Unless you.
No. go.
Okay. So the other thing I wanted to mention, just on the back of what you said about about one person will be on it and two people will be on it next and all of that kind of stuff. We kind of predicted this.
Right.
There's a verse in Ecclesiastes, right?
Yeah.
We got no Bible, But there's
I knew he was gonna go there, man.
Just because it's so tangible for what we've experienced, and it makes sense.
And you mentioned it all the time
last year as well.
Yeah.
And that I can't remember the scripture. I'll put it on the in what YouTubers do. I'll put it there. But literally, it talks about how two heads are better than one. And if you have, if one person is working, and they don't have anybody else to kind of share the workload with, or anyone to kind of give what they've earned from their work to, then life will just be meaningless and boring, basically. Mm-hmm. And it says that two heads are better than one, because then when one slips up, the other can help them pull up. So there's been times where I'm like, oh, I can't bother, this is long. These two have pulled me up. There's been time where Enoch might not. Actually, Enoch's actually quite.
Enoch is the most
Enoch
consistent.
Enoch is probably the most consistent. I can't lie.
I power through.
He does power through it. Afo might be like, oh, I can't do that. And then we'll have to kind of, do you know what I mean? So I just feel like that scripture in particular has been proven over the last year. That's what I would say.
And to be honest, we've like, despite the year being volatile, we produced some fire content.
We have.
I can't even lie, man.
We have.
See that episode with Kingsley? That's my favorite episode.
Yeah, we good.
We have. From last year.
Which one?
Favorite.
The
both of them,
pop,
you know.
Pop or the both. Pop or porn.
Pop and porn.
Pop or porn.
I love both
pop
of them.
Porn, proper corn, boy. Proper corn.
So if you haven't listened to those, go and listen to them. We'll put them in the description box.
Listen to the porn one.
Yes.
I really like the porn one.
The porn one's really good.
Enoch.
Identity.
It's
a weird one, but it's.
No, it's a,
do you know
it's
what? I remember saying to the guys that I really wanted us to be known by the people, and not like, I want the people to feel like they know us, and that, because that's the only way they would kind of relate to us. Mm-hmm. So I think 2017, we've been releasing content that is very invasive, I think, personally, in our thoughts, whether it's to do with politics or like, so like, I can't even remember some of the episodes that we recorded.
You did a Grenfell one.
We voiced so much of our own opinion, what we believed in, and loads of stuff like that, and that came out. And we spoke about a few other things. There was the God versus Science one.
We talked about that last year. Science last year.
Yeah. I don't think that was last year. That was the year before.
That was early.
That was 2016.
No, was that? That was early.
No, that was 2016.
Is it?
Yeah, for sure, 100%.
Towards the end.
I'm gonna check, and then when you're proven wrong,
okay. I'll tweet it. Hey, but, I'm the one that uploads them.
Anyway, so basically, like, we're getting. We're really putting ourselves out there. Even like, probably the hardest one was the porn one.
Definitely.
Because that is something no one wants to talk about. and because we put that out, we are showing, we're kind of giving them a picture of our identity, our background and our upbringing. So I think, I say identity because we're starting to put it out there. Like our identity, who we are.
Yeah.
And I feel like our team that we have now, like the people that we've added onto into the point,
have really helped us as well. Like, shout out to them. Mm. We love you.
Love you.
They really... They really... helped us in terms of like... Even when like the three is better than one.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt but like, there's a lot.
Don't,
there's a
don't
lot.
Go, don't,
no.
The three are better than one.
Yeah.
But like, oh no, three are even better. Mm-hmm. But like having the other two kind of made us look at each other.
Yes.
Like there's one person that would be like, oh, this person feels this way, or not even like without even asking, be like, have you considered this person feels like this? Have you considered doing this? Have you? And we're like, yeah, and we're like, right, okay. And we really, it really helps. Mm-hmm. And also individually, I feel like our identities are being like realized as we go along, especially in 2017. Yeah. There's a lot mm-hmm. that we realized about ourselves that we
individually, yeah.
yeah, that we learned about ourselves. Yeah. And we started to grow individually as people, which makes the project that we're giving birth to, or raising, let's say now, because we've already given birth to
them,
better. Yes. Two parents that don't know who they are going to raise a child that doesn't know who
of
they
course,
are.
Yeah.
So
right.
the better we get to know ourselves, the better the point will be. Basically.
Yes. Yeah,
that is so strong. There's so many different things that you guys have said that links into the questions that I've got. But I think the first thing I would want to ask you is... There's just so many good questions, if I do say so myself. But I guess it's like, so you've mentioned your team and how your team dynamics have changed and how you've found support and perspective in other ways. But during last year, when things got tough, who did you turn to outside of, you know, the immediate team? Who was your support network? Because I think that's really important. And I love what you're saying about you know, apart from God, but I think it's really strong what you said about identity and realizing who you are, and I think it's really powerful to have your voices out there on different topics such as porn, or just what it means about not coming of age as a black man in London, but an extent shedding the old, your early 20s, and coming into who you are, and actually dealing with the challenges of juggling different relationships, career, hobbies, just dynamics within yourselves as you grow as men. So apart from God and apart from each other and apart from the other point members, mm-hmm. who has been part of your support network in the past year?
Shall I go first?
Yeah, for it.
Who has it been for me? Probably, do you know, I haven't really turned, you know, I don't turn to people, you know, these guys know me.
He doesn't.
I don't turn to people. It's not because there's no one I trust, or like, because obviously I trust these guys and I'll always tell them what's going on when they ask. That is, because that's what I mean. Like, I won't come out and be like, hey guys, I'm struggling with this. But the people, like, I feel like I always reflect. And with the reflection comes remembrance and realization of who the people are around me that have, that would speak good or would encourage me. So like, two people, I'd always give these people a shout out, like Claudia and Tifa, like Namu and Tifa, yeah. They've been on the point like a few times, but they, every time I think about them, I think about the support that they have given us. And that support, I will never... For me, yeah, when someone believes in me, yeah, that's when it's all over for me, because I now can't stop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can't stop. Once someone says, Enoch, man, you can actually do this, I will not stop until I do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had times, even like music career wise, I felt like I should quit. And I told no one. I was like, I'm gonna quit. But then I thought about telling my brother, I thought about telling my dad that I'm gonna stop. And that basically point back was just like, nope, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah.
I guess it's a pride element, but it's good because
it's working for you.
Yeah, it works for me and it keeps me going. So I'm like, I can't tell someone that I'm flopping in this, because I don't wanna look like the person that flops after they put their trust or start to believe in what I can do, what I can achieve. So yeah, I think that's what I do for me. But if there will be someone that I'll kind of go to, I don't know.
if it's just the people in this room, then
actually don't know.
That's cool.
I know.
That's
yeah.
cool. Just
probably
about.
Probably my cousin, maybe Derek, because he's very supportive. And he's good at gassing me up, so
that's good.
Yeah,
so you need someone to gas you up. Like.
Trust.
Afro?
I go to my sisters.
How many sisters do you have?
I got two.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they know pretty much everything. So anything that I'm doing, like, they know about it. So I remember when we came up with the idea, just to start the point, I told my eldest sister first. And she was like, "Yeah, it'll be sick." And I was like, How do you already know that it's gonna be sick?
Right.
And we haven't even recorded an episode. It's just like I just know. I was like, okay, all right. And I remember when we did our first episode. No, we put a video out. So we put a video out on our Twitter account. I sent that to my sister before we released it. Obviously, she gets the exclusive.
Yeah.
Sent it to my sisters, and they're like, "Yeah, this is sick. I like it. Like it." My youngest sister. She don't listen to the podcast, but she supports us. She supports it, and she likes the hoodie. So she's got a hoodie, you know? But yeah, it was just great for, you know, people outside of the circle to believe in you. I think I get strength from my sisters. So when they say something, like I work off that, what they say, you know? So when we decided that we were going to do YouTube, my sister was like, "Yeah, you should have done that time ago." So I was like, okay. So I'm just like, yeah, my sisters are really supportive. And like with everything that I do in regards to the point, like even the graphics design, because I remember when I just wanted to do it, like it was crap. Like the initial bits and pieces that I used to put out, you know, they weren't great, but my sisters always encouraged me just to, you know, get better, learn more.
Yeah,
I'm not there yet. I don't think I'm amazing. I don't mind telling myself if I am amazing, but I'm not there yet. You know, so I'm just getting better, and it's just it's really from the strength of my sisters.
Sure. What about you, Mike?
For me, I think following that theme as well, my brother.
Yeah.
Oh man, my brother. Like he knows me so well that. When I go to, I don't even have to say certain things to him, and he would just know.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? He would just know. And I think for me, he's been like that, like the person that's like, keep going with it, keep going, stop lacking consistency, keep going. Even when I'm like, oh, I can't bother or whatever. So he's been that person for me.
Yeah.
My friend, outside of the media team, just friends, like, you know, my friend Chloe, she always brings such great perspective. Always, like, I'll say something to her, and she, you know, when you leave a conversation just re-energized, brightened and lifted.
Yeah.
Man, that definitely always helps. Nice. And just friends, like, friends, family members. But for me, one of the key things that I learned last year.
You will learn next year.
I'll learn next year. One of the key things I learned last year was actually to listen more to myself.
Wow.
And because I, opposite to Enoch, I am a person that would tend to go around to everyone and ask what they think and what they think. But I realized that actually, really, you need to listen to yourself. Mm-hmm. Get wise counsel and get advice.
Yeah.
But for me, if there was ever anything going on, like, in life, I need to listen to what do I think about this situation and go with my own convictions, because I find that when you follow the convictions of other people, you end up unhappy, and then you're trying to shift the blame on someone else.
Right.
Yeah.
So I've just found that for me, listen to myself, it helps. And then at least, even if it doesn't come to the way I expected it to happen, at least I learned something from it.
And at
least it was me that came up with it rather than why did Afro give me that advice, or why did so-and-so give me that advice? I didn't. And then you start building up animosity towards that person because you're blaming them for giving you advice, when really we're all just here trying to figure out life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know I'm entering depth zone, but that's how I kind of feel. But yeah,
it's a good one.
That is strong. Started the Point platform. What motivated you three to expand the team?
Okay, I can answer that. So basically, when we first started The Point, mm-hmm. we were doing everything. So we were recording, we were coming up with the show concepts, we were inviting the guests, we were promoting on social media. I was doing the video content, Enoch was doing the editing, Afo was doing like graphic design and the website as well. And it was just a lot. And we actually identified people within our circle who had very similar skill sets or ambitions that aligned with what we wanted to do with The Point. So, so the two people that we recruited, we proper put like job specs and everything together and sent them to them. One of them's a documentarian, an aspiring documentarian, and we want to eventually produce documentaries. Yeah. So we were like, okay, come on board. Makes sense. Let's do this thing together. Mm-hmm. And then the other person who we recruited is just a marketing guru. She was like, she's so sick. And we were just like, oh yeah, could you come and do some social media stuff for us, marketing, all of that kind of thing. So for us, it was identifying people within our circle. Yeah. And to the point that you made as well, Issa Rae said the same thing. So she was like, you know, most people talk about networking upwards. So it's all like, okay, who's at the top that I can network with and then they can bring me up. And she says, network sideways, because you've all got different skill sets, different talents, different gifts that you can actually bring together. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because even from a young age, I've always said, like, all my friends, we all have kind of similar ambitions to, in different facets, but very similar ambitions from school and that. Like you've got Catherine and them lot that do videography, Beatrice that does the singing, everything. And I've always like had a vision of me and my friends working together and building a company together, as opposed to it being this kind of like, you're over here in your silo, you're over here in this silo, but we're really doing the same thing. So why not bring it together and make the load easier?
Yeah.
So yeah, lighten the load. And that's why we wanted to bring people on, man.
And it really worked. It really worked.
It did.
Working. So realistically, to now make you guys accountable, how often can we expect to hear from you?
Every 2 weeks.
Yeah, every 2 weeks.
Every two weeks, you will get a podcast.
And what's funny, we've kept up to that so far this year.
We have.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yes, it's only a month in, but you know.
But we've kept, so that's two episodes. No.
And I think going back to my analogy about being a 2-year-old, it is something that happens where you have to find your rhythm.
Yes. Yeah.
So the sleeping patterns of a 2-year-old changes, their eating pattern changes. Yeah. The rate that they learn different words and they develop and they socialize changes. So in actual fact, from the age of 1 to 2, there's so many changes that happens in a child's intellectual development. So I feel as though you guys have gone through that phase where you're kind of figuring out what works for you realistically and what doesn't work for you realistically, based upon your work commitments, your family commitments, your social life commitments, your relationship commitments. It's finding out what works for you guys. And we, as the listeners and your supporters and your fans, we'll just flow. As long as we know every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you guys change it to once a month, we'll be cool too. But it's about, I think, building sustainability.
Yeah.
And we don't want The Point to burn out and be like, oh yeah, do you remember? No. Like, build content that we can come back to.
Could think about it.
We got it.
Every time you go home at 7:30, on a Tuesday, you expect EastEnders to be on the screen, right?
Right.
If EastEnders ain't on the screen, millions of people are going to be like, I mean, I don't watch EastEnders anymore, but millions of people will be like, what's going on? Where's EastEnders? Why? Let's boycott. And especially in this day and age, people will boycott you for anything.
They want to boycott everything.
You're not giving
man.
Me what I want, so I'm going to boycott you.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're providing a service, is how I see it.
Yeah. Right.
And that service, people expect a service. On every corner, there is a McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you expect when you go in that McDonald's that you get the food you're looking for.
Right.
It's the same thing with anything. We, I think now, are finding a rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, we want to be consistent.
You know, I think it's also about believing in your slay. Like, believe in yourself. Yeah, man. I believe in my slay, baby. I think, it's just really about believing in yourself and what you produce. Because I think I went through a period last year where I didn't. Mm-hmm. Especially with The Point, I was just like, I don't know. And I went through a period where I was just watching what other people was doing. And I was trying to replicate it. That's why some episodes are private and you can't hear them anymore. But but yeah, I went through that period, and then I think I realized, I don't know who I spoke to, either it was Michael or Enoch, and I was just like, do you know what? Yeah, I don't want to do that. I just want to do us. Like, I'm not watching anybody. I want to do what we
identity,
do.
Literally.
Yeah. Like, I want to do what we do, what we produce, who we are, because it bangs anyway. So why did I try to change the formula?
But the thing is, you have to do trial and error. You'll never know. And you always get kids on the playground who try and be like the other kids.
Yeah.
And it's about comparison. And you guys, I don't know if you can because of copyright, but there's a clip from the McClure twins where they're identical twins, but one was born 1 minute before.
So her mum
is saying, do you know who's older? One of the girls starts crying because she thinks, oh, because I was born a minute later, it means that I'm not bigger. So her mum's like, actually, you guys are growing at the same rate. Turns out she's half an inch taller than her sister. So her sister starts crying. And her sister's like, I'm not growing. Yeah, I'm not growing. And her mum's like, you guys grow at different rates.
Yeah.
And I think it's about finding your identity, your personality, because I love watching those girls. But their personalities are developing.
Yeah.
You would think, oh, they're identical twins. But now that they're like four, you've got one who... You've got one who she's always talking and her sister's like, shut up. And you've got the other one who's a bit feisty. So... comparison, not to say it's natural, but I feel like it's a rite of passage. And now it's about being very disciplined. And you know where your pitfalls are.
Yeah.
So Afo, you, as you said, you know the content that you guys produce bangs. You know that you have an audience. So now it's about giving us what we want. I'm joking.
Yeah. No, you're not joking. We'll take it seriously. It's good.
Because I'll be real. I had to hold back last year. I was like, I'm not going to.
I think it's good. I think it's good because we need to get there. Like, the thing I like about your analogy of a two-year-old is because two-year-old children, I have a two-year-old godson. I remember the mother of the godson saying that, oh, he's going to get to his terrible twos.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible twos? Yeah. That's when he starts making, like, the most trouble. He wants to be heard. He wants to be known. He's going to be doing this. He's going to be doing that. He's going to be, literally begging for attention. And I think because we're at that terrible two stage, we need to start now making a ruckus on social media, on TV, on YouTube. We basically need to make a scene. We need to throw tantrums if we're not heard.
Yeah.
One of my questions was actually
triumphant
about tantrums.
Triumphant twos. It'll be triumphant twos.
And it's true. Because two-year-olds are always talking about, you don't ask them the question, they just give it to you.
My two-year-old nephew is just chatting the most now. He just makes the most noise. He's doing like...
Exactly.
He's coming into himself though as well. So whilst it's terrible twos, he's finding his personality, who he is. Yeah.
But the reason why parents find it terrible too is because you can't really control or predict their behavior.
Better get it. Come out.
Okay, so apart from you guys throwing tantrums or making yourselves being heard in the coming months and years, what makes you throw a tantrum? Like day-to-day life, what makes you throw your toys out of the
park? I want to be the best.
As in,
that's why.
Yeah.
That's why I throw a tantrum.
As in, throwing tantrums is, for me, in the way I look at it is more like, if you're not trying to hear me, I'm going to become louder so you can hear me.
Yeah.
If you're still not trying to hear me, I'm going to even get even more louder so you can hear me. So in the sense of like, if our voice is not being heard on social media, we're going to try something else.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, we're going to try something else. We're going to kick and scream until someone hears us.
Yeah.
And gives us the attention that we need. Mm-hmm. But basically, that's what I mean in terms of tantrums. We're going to throw tantrums in a sense of we are going to kick, we're going to scream, we're going to be like, no, if you're not listening to me, you're going to listen to me.
The favorite word of a two-year-old.
Yeah, like, I will be heard. No, yeah, the favorite word of a two-year-old, you can't do this. No, I can't. Yeah, I'm going to do it. So if they say, the point can't do this, you guys shouldn't do this. Like, no, we're going to do it. We're at that stage kind of thing.
In terms of what makes me throw a tantrum, these lot will testify to it as well. Is not being where I feel like I should be by this time. I'm a person where I'm like, and why are we not there already? Like, them lot will see. These guys, you can testify.
The pain.
I will send voice notes, I will send message, I will send paragraph, I will shout in the car sometimes.
Shout in the car, like,
one time.
Full on shouting in the car.
But it's a righteous indignation. Maybe it's not righteous. But it means well. It means well, innit?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what makes me throw a tantrum. But then I realize that it's all a part of the journey. Everything. Yeah. There are no losses, only learns.
Yeah.
So even if we learn, we think we're losing because we're not being consistent. It's a learning curve. That's how I see it. Yeah. So.
And I think it's really important in the essence of, Afa, you said something about trying to be consistent, but then it damaging other parts of your life or other areas of your life. And I feel like that's a lie that we've bought into a generation, as a generation, that we need to, yes, sacrifices need to be made, but however, we can't damage our home relationships or our work relationships because it's the pursuit of passion. So everything needs to work together.
Yes.
Yeah. And I feel like that righteous indignation or that passion comes from a good place. However, it needs to be measured. It needs to be measured because if any other area of your life falls apart, you know, God forbid, then that's going to put a dampener on your pursuit for passion.
Yeah.
So it's just, as you said, all about balance. All things work together for the good.
And I mean, for me, like, what makes me throw a tantrum is wanting to be the best because, like, how do I explain it? A lot of things, a few things motivate me.
Mm-hmm.
Music can motivate me to, like, now I've got to push myself to work. Or just imagining what can be, especially imagination, because I'm always thinking about what the future and what the point can be. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, there'll be times I'll just wake up and like, I've got to work. I got to go because... Not that I feel as if that time's running away from me because I'm happy with my progression, but with our progression really, but I just want to get there, you know? Yeah. I want to do it. And I know with my hands, if I don't do anything, I'm not going to get there. So I got to work. I got to do something. So it's always about improving. Okay, there's one thing I'm not good at. Okay, how can I improve? What do I have to do? I need to rebuild the website. Okay, what do I have to do? What do I have to learn? Let me do it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just that because I know we're sick. So I have to do my part to be the best. We have to be the best. I can't.
He is pursuing the passion. Okay. So my next question is, so we know about terrible twos, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So obviously a child's diet is very important. So in the past year, not your food diet, what have you been listening to, reading, events you've been going to? Like, what has been feeding this fire?
Do you know somebody that I watch? His name is Scott Galloway.
Okay.
He's a marketing professor at NYU. He has a YouTube channel called L2 Inc. And he has a book out called The Four. And The Four basically is about the four largest tech companies in the world that are based, it's like the four horsemen in the Bible.
Okay.
So yeah, it's basically the four largest tech companies in the world that rule the world. Mm. Yeah. And it's the way that he describes it and the way that he puts his videos together, it's like I want the point to be part of the four. Because he talks about a fifth horseman as well. Mm. So I'm like, why can't the point be that fifth horseman? Why? Man, I gotta wake up and I gotta get to work, you know. So, like, I want our company to be looked in the same light as Facebook, as Netflix, as Apple, as Google, as Amazon, you know. Like, why can't we be?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's what I've been watching. That's what I discovered last year. So, I've just been watching a lot of his videos and reading his book.
Consistency.
Yeah.
What about you, Enoch?
Oh man, I read this book probably like a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago. It's a book called The Alchemist. I'm gonna come back to like even now in the past as well. But this book is a really good book. I think I mentioned this last year.
It impacted you a lot.
I have, yeah, it did in terms of like, just the way to see how the main person in the story went about to achieve what he wanted to achieve. And it was more of it reminded me of myself when I said, like I said earlier, that there was a time when I was just like, I'm just going to give up. Literally the same thing happened to him. He was in a stagnant place and he's like, I'm just going to give up. But I don't even remember what pushed him to go forth, but basically I got pushed to go forth as well. And it was the end of the story, which I'm not going to say. It was the outcome that caused me to think, rah, like it's not going to be what I expect, but I'm still going to go get the result that I aimed for.
Yeah.
So like, it may not be packaged the same way. The result may not be packaged the same way, but the result will be the same. Mm-hmm. Like I'll still be happy, like exceedingly happy. Recently, probably I'd say more spiritual, and I've been reading the Bible. Obviously, it's a collective of books, in a load of books that were written by saints and prophets and all sorts. But I think that one helped me with my identity, because I believe that I think I was telling this to Michael and a few others, and the other two. Members, is that I'm gonna basically pursue my relationship with God, solidify it, because I know that my God is not a God that fails. Mm-hmm. He's perfect and he always wins, basically. Mm-hmm. Like he's always succeeding. Mm-hmm. So if I'm built in him and he is in me, how then can I fail?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in a sense of like, I've kind of come to a realization of, rah, if I actually have him in what I'm doing and I'm really like in him, then failure is not in my vocabulary. Failure is not in my future. Basically, I can't fail, because if I do fail, then I don't think it's working. Like someone once says, I forgot his name. Pastor Mike. That's all I know.
Mike Todd.
Yeah.
Shout out Mike Todd.
Yeah, shout out to him. But he said something that sticks with me all the time, is that God only funds his ideas. If he hasn't pushed you to do something, and I believe he's pushed us to do this, by the way, if he hasn't pushed you to do something, then he's not going to fund it. It's going to be out of your own strength.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I believe that he's pushed us to do this, and that's why everything's kind of falling into place.
Yeah.
Although we've been lacking in consistency, there's still something about us that's still alive.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're at. But yeah, sorry for the non-believers, but yeah, we spiritual out here. Mm-hmm.
Before hand over to Mike, I think it's really important to kind of highlight this word consistency and what consistency looks like, because if we're talking about how God sees stuff,
He's consistent.
God is consistent, but he's outside of time. So we judge consistency based on what we do on a weekly basis, fortnightly basis, or a monthly basis.
Yeah.
But in terms of how he sees consistency is, are you...
Effort?
Not effort, it's not exertion, because it's supposed to be grace. And I think it's something that you guys have been blessed to go through, this process where you've learned what has worked for you and what hasn't worked for you, and not do it out of a place of we should do it, or a place of feeling like you're burdened to put out content. You guys have grown as individuals, and that growth we will see it in the content and in the longevity. Because I think it's one thing to be consistent for a year or two, but if you fall off when the numbers fall off, and if you're not producing content that is actually relevant, then what's the point? What's the point? And I think for you it's always about producing stuff out of who you are naturally. You can't really put a time frame on that, and I think it's because of my own personal journey, but you can't really put a time frame on it. I know you guys keep saying about, you know, you haven't been consistent. This can be edited if you want, but I just want to say, like, take that weight off your shoulders in terms of, oh, we haven't been consistent, because you guys have said it, and I'm like, bros, are you not seeing you're actually being consistent? Because you've kept going, you've kept investing in the idea, and you've kept together as a team.
Boy, that probably wouldn't have happened, you know,
exactly. In December. Do you know what I mean? But you guys have weathered through that. So as the team grows and expands, you know, a house that's divided amongst itself cannot stand. You guys have gone through that.
You've gone through that kind of
pruning, that breaking in. So yeah, more power to you.
That is so good.
Thank you.
So that's a side note. Michael, what's been on your diet?
Before I get to that, I actually just wanted to just add a scripture to what Enoch was saying. It's Zechariah 4:10, A and B part. There's three parts to it. But it says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And for me, that is so powerful, because even in the midst of we're not doing enough, or, you know, I haven't worked hard enough. Like, God actually rejoices to see us start work, even though it's small, even though it might not be reaching the masses like other podcasts, like, just to have the fact that, you know, we're all men of faith, like, our creator has our back and is rejoicing over the small beginnings. And that was our first Instagram post. Like, we posted the little soundboard that we have, and we're just small beginnings. Do you
still
know what I mean?
Still going now.
And we're still going now. We're still using it now. But here we are with cameras. Yeah. And here we are with microphone stands. Praise God. So in terms of what I've been consuming, like, you know, my Bible a lot more, especially more this year. But in terms of just other resources as well, because I believe that even as believers, we should be consuming other resources, just to have success in the land as well. So I've been listening to the How I Built This podcast.
Amazing. Michael.
Amazing.
Fam. Oh my gosh.
Amazing, bro.
Oh my goodness me.
Brother.
Oh
my so good.
Goodness.
It's so good.
And you guys haven't had this conversation before.
Listen. Yeah. It's so dope.
Oh.
That podcast, they bring on so many different people. They bring on, I think, who was on it? Michael Dell was on it. WeWork was on it. Where we are right now. Ben and Jerry's. LA Reid's been on it.
LA Reid. Wow. I haven't even listened to that one yet.
That one's really good. I think Troy Carter did an episode. He was Lady Gaga's manager, basically music manager, and he had, like, his roots started with, like, Will Smith back in Fresh Prince days. Yeah. But so stuff like that, because for me, those podcasts, the host, he really goes into the journeys of what they've done and how they got to become where they are, and the fact that a lot of them, the kind of, like, consistent message throughout it is, like, some of them don't even feel like they're successful yet. And we look at them in, like, amazement, like, oh my gosh. And they still don't feel like they're there yet. And so that for me is really good, because that's kind of what we're trying to do with Pursuit of Passion. We're trying to uncover the stories and find out what it is that people go through when they're building their product or doing whatever it is that they do. So that's been really, really helpful for me. What else has been good? I've been reading books on, like, so there's one book that I read called The ENFP Comprehensive Guide to Survival. Oh my days, what an amazing book.
Myers-Briggs,
because I found out I'm an ENFP, and that book basically elaborates on, like, how you behave in the workplace, how you behave with your friends, your family, how to kind of manage the negative impacts of your personality. Not that we're dictated by it completely, but so that's helped. What else has been in my diet? A book by Timothy Keller called The Art of Self-Forgetfulness. Really small book. But again, especially in this social media age, he talks about it sounds like I'm talking about Bible, but he actually uses a biblical example to kind of explain why the beauty of actually not caring what people think. And I think that's something, especially in this social media age, a lot of us are like, oh, what do they think about me? What do I look like on this page? And what do I do? And all of that. And he explains, like, how there's freedom in not caring what others think about you, but also not caring what you think about yourself either. And that for me was a massive weight lifter, because it helps me to approach conversations with people in a free mind without thinking, am I putting this? Am I doing this? Am I, you know? So that's helped a lot. But yeah, man. And just reading business books and learning from my clients in my line of work as well.
Good.
Yeah, so.
So the day-to-day plays a part.
Yeah, 100%.
We're going to pause.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
TGM. O-R-P-H.
Bounce.
P-B-H. Check. Get on my feet, I die trying on my knees. No feelings, not my heart, so my sleeve a crack. Tears of drug, erase the fools of greed. Snake shots to bite, vegan poison the seed of my growth, but I still proceed to break it down like proteins. I'm moving forward with belief, and I'ma be real until the last time I breathe. When they're struggling, they don't wanna know. But when they think he's blown, these suckers wanna blow. Lord knows, I'll pave the way for my humble kid. Show him to be a Neo, not an Angel Smith. Music's the vision and seeing is believing. More food for thought, I'm daydreaming as I'm feasting about reality. FD's fairy tale rap's talking matters that be faker than a click.
Positivity breeds happiness. I change my decided to be different to them other guys. Cause what I'm from remains a very big part of I. It's in my blood and it hurts when I see good rappers catching cases like a Samsonite. Trials, they're messing with more than one concubine. Had the chance to live the hood life, but I declined. I passed my fears to find out. Flipping vainly, you're a trait of mine. Why? Cause positivity breeds happiness and I breed love. Emotional catalyst. Things that make a person wanna do more than what they're doing already, my brother. Match the activeness. I do this for the smiles and ovations. Blood, sweat and tears for this art I'm creating. Produce me the rivers I'm sailing. Blessed by God, so I'm after the word exclamation.
Positivity breeds happiness. I change my ways. Now you see me smiling. Positivity breeds happiness. I change my ways. Now you see me.
Give off positive vibes.
The term positivity breeds happiness to me means having a mind-blowing domino effect on others, which encourages them to do well and never give up on their dreams.
The way I see it is your thoughts become your actions, it become your habits, which inevitably becomes your lifestyle. So positive thoughts become positive lifestyle. With positivity, you become happy. So positive thoughts, happy life.
It's understanding how much control we have over our own individual well-being and environment, how we can consciously affect our environment around us.
Nowadays, negativity has almost become a default setting. So positivity breeds happiness to me. It's a reminder of a goal and the method to reach that goal. And it's beautiful. Like, I love it so much.
So cool. I have a few like book recommendations. The one that I would really recommend, I read this like 3 years ago. It's called The Gatekeepers Are Gone, and Hustle and Technology Equals Success. And it's by Lamar Tyler. I've never met Lamar Tyler. Don't know what he looks like, but I was watching The Breakfast Club and Black Enterprise came on the show. This is probably 3 years ago. And the guy who is the senior VP of Black Enterprise, he just mentioned the book. I said, I'm going to read it. So I just bought it, read it. I read it in a week. I've never read a book that quickly. And I was like, yo, this book is amazing. And for me, the book really emphasized, because anyone that knows me knows that I really like music. And I really push for Black British music to be, you know, on a higher pedestal. So I'm always trying to think about where it's going, where it's going to go next. And I think I've had conversations with Michael and Enoch about it in the past. And just, you know, Black British culture as a whole, like, I believe that the time is now. I said it time ago, I can't even lie. And let me big myself up. I said it like 3-4 years ago. I was like, yo, this thing is going to blow. Everyone's going to be successful, not just from music, but from everything, from acting, from personalities. Everything, it's going to happen. I said this time ago, man. I should be rich. But, so, and this book really helped me. So, yeah, I would recommend getting it. The Gatekeepers Are Gone. Hustle and Technology Equals Success. It's a short read, only 110 pages. So, yeah, it won't take you long. And also read, it's at home. I wish I could show it on camera, but it's at home. The Four by Scott Galloway. If you're into tech, marketing, media, all that sort, all that good stuff, then it's the book for you. It is amazing. And go to Scott Galloway's YouTube channel, L2 Inc. It's amazing. I love him. I actually wish that I could I wish he could be my lecturer at NYU. Like, I wish I could attend NYU and get a degree in marketing because he's sick. But yeah.
Following that, book recommendation, 101 Secrets for Your 20s by Paul Ang-on. Oh my gosh, it's such a good book. It's basically 101 secrets. Each day is another secret for your 20s. They're really, really short and simple things. A lot of them are really, really funny as well because, yeah, the guy just gets millennials, man. So, yeah, that's what I would recommend. Okay. Please, 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 if you are a Christian or a non-Christian, read the book of Ecclesiastes. Do you hear what I'm saying? Read the book of Ecclesiastes, yeah? P. Diddy bigged it up one time on DJ Khaled's Snapchat, like, y'all don't know about this Ecclesiastes, y'all don't know. And I was like, I know, because that book, yeah, that book is where I learned that there is actually biblical backing to having multiple streams of income in your life, yeah? There's a scripture in there
that says,
oh, I love it so much. And Will took it from me and then made it famous on his Twitter. But anyway.
Wait,
we love you, Will.
The scripture says, yeah, invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8, for you do not know what disaster will come upon the land. Let me just repeat that. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8, for you do not know what disaster will come upon the land, yeah? So don't just have your money at work. Don't just have your money in your hobby. Have different ventures, B. God wants you to have different ventures. God wants you to have success in this land. You hear me?
Can I just mention something else? Like, I know it's so cliche, but on the real, like, do what you love, man. Like, do it. Because, like, I remember when we came up with the idea to do the point, 2015, yeah? Like, imagine if we just thought about it and then it just disappeared. Like, we didn't do anything with it. I don't have any regrets doing this. I don't care.
None.
I care about where it goes. But like, I love the fact that we actually did this. Like, and it's crazy to think that something that we started in Michael's bedroom, we're now here in this secret location, wherever that is. But we're in this. But now we've got cameras, we got mics, we got mic stand. This is crazy to me. Like, I didn't think about this. I definitely didn't think about this initially.
Neither did I.
Do what you love.
Me, I just did it because I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
It birthed from us just having conversation.
Just wanted to do it. I think that's what's important. And I've realized even now, like, the way I'm going to do it, the way I'm going to move forward with it is just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
And do it with excellence as well. One thing I learned, yeah, 2 churches that I go to, yeah. First church, Hillsong. Yeah, I go to 2 churches. It's weird.
it happens.
Yeah. First church, Hillsong. Yeah. Like, in terms of excellence. Yeah. Like in what they do, everything they do. I haven't been to a church like that. And then my second church, Winners. Yeah. I clocked because I was there last week. I clocked that even in their own way, the way that they do things, it's with excellence. You know, like. Everything they do, they have to make sure that it's the best that they can produce.
Yeah, can do,
because,
yeah.
Like, my what's it? Enoch sent us a book to read that 2-3 days ago, yeah. And it was talking about it's by Francis Chan. Big up Francis Chan. And in the first page, it speaks about how detailed God was when He was creating us, like the different voices that we have,
laughs.
Our laughs, my head shape. It's different to everyone else's. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, look how detailed God was, yeah? So with everything that I do, I have to be as detailed. I have to be as excellent with everything I produce. That's why these days, yeah, I don't even cuss when Michael's being a perfectionist, because that's actually a great trait to have. Yeah, because you're always trying
godly
to...
trait.
Yes, it is.
Because you're always trying to find a way to make what you've created better.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's an amazing trait to have, you know?
Yeah.
But
perfectionism isn't a good thing, but excellence is.
I think perfectionism is a good thing, because if my God is perfect,
talk about this to an extent. But me and Asha have read a book on perfectionism.
Oh really?
We, Asha?
Too much of anything is bad for you. So I think too much of a perfectionist.
Don't be a perfectionist where it's to the point where you won't release stuff because you want it to be perfect.
That's why I say it's too much. So like. If you're too much of a perfectionist, then that's bad for you.
Yeah.
But if you've got enough, like, okay, this needs to be good.
Yeah.
This I'm gonna make this as perfect as I can make it, and then it's gonna go out. Yeah. I think that one's good for you. Okay. But yeah.
So what is the point? What is your takeaway for today's listeners, viewers, any words of encouragement or just saying peace and bye to everyone?
Be strong. And that's a very easy thing to say, but being strong is something that takes a lot of strength, funny enough. But the place that you, when you get to strength, it's not an easy process to be strong, because to be strong, you have to go through something that makes you strong. So like the muscle tear thing, like you have to tear muscle for it to build and make you stronger. Yeah. So in order for you to be strong in whatever you're doing, there has to be some sort of pain, like no pain, no strain, no gain. Mm-hmm. If you're not, personally, if you're doing something, if you're working towards a business like venture, or you're working towards becoming good at something or learning an instrument, if there's no frustration, if there's no pain, not physical pain, but like if there's no pain, if there's no hardness in what you're doing, you've got to question what you're doing. Yeah. And if it's growing, like if someone's bones were to grow too fast, they would be like physically in pain. Mm-hmm. Because of the growth. If your muscles were to grow, you're in pain. You go gym, you're in pain. You were in pain. Mm. And when I say be strong, it's not just simple be strong, but it's more of like be prepared and know that you have to go through what you go through. You have to go through the bad times. You have to. If you're not going through the bad times, I don't think you're doing it right, personally. If you're not going through the bad times, I don't think that's a statement I'm going to stick with for the rest of my life. If you're not going through hard times, you're not doing it right, whatever it is. Like today, when I was telling you I was teaching that little girl and she didn't want to do it, she was going through a hard time. Like I could see her face that she wanted to cry. But in order for her to excel in her skill and what she was able to play, she had to go through that hard time. It wasn't her choice. As soon as she realized the song was hard, she was like, I don't really want to play it anymore. And you think and you're like, no, you can do it. It's just that you got to keep pushing. Mm-hmm. And even the same with me when I was learning piano keys at a younger age, there's certain songs that I came across and I was just like, I physically can't do that. And I physically can't do something. I just don't get it. And it took, what I did then was probably the wrong thing. It was definitely the wrong thing. I said, you know what, I'm going to leave it and I'll come back to it. But in a sense, it still kind of worked because, so give you an example. I looked like there was a song that acquired a lot of, that basically just demanded a lot from me, skill-wise, speed, all sorts. And I thought, you know what, no, I'm going to leave this. But I didn't leave it in a place of like quitting or giving up. It was more of, I'm going to be good in about 3 years. So I'm just going to come back to this when I'm that good, basically. Or I'm going to try again in about 2 years because I'm going to do all this other stuff and it's going to build me up to there. However, because I didn't have anyone like behind me advising me and pushing me towards it, I didn't know what to do to be able to get to play that in a faster way. So what I did is I just went by what I thought was right anyway. I'm just going to do all these other songs and eventually I'll be good enough to come back to this one. And a lot of times I feel like people would do that in their business or whatever they're doing. They're like, oh, I can't really do that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go around here and then eventually I'm going to come back and I'll be able to do it. And the diversion that they take, that's where I think it becomes more and more challenging. When you take the diversion, you've got the fear of getting lost on the diversion or being like, you know what, done this, I can't be bothered, let me just stop. Mm. And this is where I'm going at. Basically, if you're going to push for something, you need to have someone behind you, mentor, advisor, someone that can tell you how to do it or how they did it. Mm-hmm. Because if that little girl now said, I'm not going to do it, or I'm going to go around it, I gave her the tools to be able to do that within a week. Whereas what she probably would have thought, she would have been like, oh, in about a month, in about 3 months, I can do it. Me, I said, oh, in about 3 years, I can do it. However, if I had someone mentor me, I would have been able to do that in 2-3 weeks. Do you know what I mean? So like, I took a longer diversion to get where I was meant to be in 3 weeks, but I was there in 3 years. So I think just be strong, push through. If you have someone behind you to like help you and guide you into something, take it. Take it. Even if they're like not that great, it's okay to have more than one mentor.
Yes.
Yeah. So okay to have more than one mentor. You have someone, if they're attainable, like if they're just above you, that's good, because you could be like, oh, let me get up to here, and then after you'd be like, let me get up to here. But you're still learning from the one that you had, and you still appreciate the one that you had. But yeah, be strong, push through, be strong. Just be strong. That's it. Yeah.
Have strength. I not commanded you? Be strong, do not fear.
With Joshua 1:9. Yeah.
Fear is the not fear. Failure is the greatest lesson. Greatest teacher of all time. I think nobody gets everything right, gets anything right straight away, and I think that's the best thing, because then you can learn from it. You know. So my thing is that there's times I failed in my personal life, and there's times I think we failed, you know, within the point. If we're trying to do something, we get it wrong. I think it's just about learning from it. I think anybody that wants to do anything, that wants to venture in, I don't know, if you want to create your own podcast, or if you want to do anything, it's be prepared to fail, but don't see it, don't see it as something that should deter you. In fact, it should strengthen you. You should learn from it. What did you do wrong? How can I make it better? Those are the questions that you should ask yourself, you know? So I think, yeah, failure is the greatest teacher. And you should be, you should welcome failure, in fact. You should welcome it and just learn from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Advice?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the point?
What is the point? The point, the point, really, for me, is for anyone that's listening to this, be your own role model. Be that person that you look up to. Everyone is out here in this life just trying to make it happen, and we oftentimes look up at people as, you know, role models and people we want to be like. Don't do that. Be like yourself and be your own role model. Be that person that you want to be like in the future, because you already are that person. And yeah, that's what I would say. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed the content. Please like, comment, and subscribe, and hit that notification button as well, so that as we upload content, you'll be the first to know. This is The Point, and we out. Peace.
Do I say something?
No.